The Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. It was 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by some trick and have him put to death. For they said, "It must not be during the festivities, or there will be a disturbance among the people." Jesus was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. He was at dinner when a woman came in with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment, pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the ointment on his head. Some who were there said to one another indignantly, "Why this waste of ointment? Ointment like this could have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they were angry with her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you upsetting her? What she has done for me is one of the good works. You have the poor with you always, and you can be kind to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what was in her power to do. She has anointed my body before its burial. I tell you solemnly, wherever throughout all the world the good news is proclaimed, what she has done will be told also in remembrance of her." Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, approached the chief priests with an offer to hand Jesus over to them. They were delighted to hear it and promised to give him money, and he looked for a way of betraying him when the opportunity should occur. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city and you will meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him and say to the owner of the house which he enters, 'The master says, where is my dining room in which I can eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room furnished with couches and all prepared. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples set out and went to the city, and found everything as he had told them, and prepared the Passover. When evening came, he arrived with the 12, and while they were at table eating, Jesus said, "I tell you solemnly, one of you is about to betray me, one of you eating with me." They were distressed, and asked one another, "Not I, surely?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping into the same dish with me, yes. The Son of Man is going to his fate, as the scriptures say he will. But alas for that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Better for that man if he had never been born." And as they were eating, he took some bread, and when he said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had returned, he gave it to them. And all drank from it, and he said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is to be poured out for many. I tell you solemnly, I shall not drink any more wine until the day I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God." After psalms had been sung, they left for the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all lose faith, for the scripture says, 'I shall strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' However, after my resurrection, I shall go before you to Galilee." Peter said, "Even if all lose faith, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "I tell you solemnly, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will have disowned me 3 times. But he repeated still more earnestly, "If I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And they all said the same. They came to a small estate called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay here while I pray." Then he took Peter and James and John with him, and a sudden fear came over him, and great distress, and he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful to the point of death. Wait here and keep awake." And going on a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, that if it were possible, this hour might pass him by. He said, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup away from me, but let it be as you, not I, would have it." He came back and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Had you not the strength to keep awake 1 hour? You should be awake and praying not to be put to the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came back and found them sleeping. Their eyes were so heavy and they could find no answer for him. He came back a third time and said to them, "You can sleep on now and take your rest. It is all over. The hour has come. Now the Son of Man is to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us go. My betrayer is close at hand already." Even while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up with a number of men armed with swords and clubs, sent by the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the traitor had arranged a signal with them. He had said, "The one I kiss, he is the man. Take him in charge and see he is well guarded when you lead him away." So when the traitor came, he went straight up to Jesus and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The others seized him and took him in charge. And then one of the bystanders drew his sword and struck out at the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. Then Jesus spoke, "Am I a brigand that you had to set out to capture me with swords and clubs? I was among you teaching in the temple day after day, and you never laid hands on me. But this is to fulfill the scriptures." And they all deserted him and ran away. A young man who followed him had nothing on but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the cloth in their hands and ran away naked. They led Jesus off to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes assembled there. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the high priest's palace, and was sitting with the attendants warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus on which they might pass the death sentence, but they could not find any. Several indeed put false evidence against him, but their evidence was conflicting, and some stood up and submitted this false evidence against him. "We heard him say, 'I am going to destroy this temple made by human hands, and in 3 days build another not made by human hands.'" But even on this point, their evidence was conflicting. The high priest stood up before the whole assembly and put this question to Jesus, "Have you no answer to that? What is this evidence these men are bringing against you?" But he was silent and made no answer at all. The high priest put a second question to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his robes and said, "What need of witnesses have we now? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your finding?" And they all gave their verdict: he deserved to die. Some of them started spitting at him and blindfolding him. They began hitting him with their fists and shouting, "Play the prophet!" And the attendants rained blows on him. While Peter was down below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's servants came up. She saw Peter warming himself there and stared at him and said, "You too were there with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I do not know, I do not understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the forecourt. The servant girl saw him and again started telling the bystanders, "This fellow is one of them." But again he denied it. A little later, the bystanders themselves said to Peter, "You are one of them for sure. Why, you're a Galilean." But he started calling down curses on himself and swearing, "I do not know this man, the man you speak of." At this moment, the cock crew for the second time. And Peter recalled how Jesus said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you have disowned me 3 times. And he burst into tears. First thing in the morning, the chief priests, together with the elders and scribes, in short, the whole Sanhedrin, had their plan ready. They had Jesus bound and took him away and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "It is you who say it." And the chief priests brought many accusations against him. Pilate questioned him again, "Have you no reply at all? See how many accusations they are bringing against you?" But to Pilate's amazement, Jesus made no further reply. At the festival time, Pilate used to release a prisoner for them, anyone they asked for. Now a man called Barabbas was there in prison with the rioters who had committed murder during the uprising. When the crowd went up and began to ask Pilate the customary favour, Pilate answered them, "Do you want me to release you, the king of the Jews?" For he realized it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over. The chief priests, however, had incited the crowd to demand that he should release Barabbas for them instead. Then Pilate spoke again, "But in that case, what am I to do with the man you call king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why? What harm has he done?" But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." So Pilate, anxious to placate the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and having ordered Jesus to be scourged, handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away to the inner part of the palace, that is the praetorium, and called the whole cohort together. They dressed him in purple and twisted some thorns into a crown and put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed and spat on him, and they went down on their knees to do him homage. And when they had finished making fun of him, they took off the purple and dressed him in his own clothes. They enlisted a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming from the country to carry his cross. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he refused it. Then they crucified him and shared out his clothing, casting lots to decide what each should get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The inscription giving the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And they crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Passers-by jeered at him, and they shook their heads and said, "Aha, so you would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Then save yourself. Come down from the cross." The chief priests and the scribes mocked him among themselves in the same way. They said, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, King of Israel, come down from the cross now, for us to see it and believe." Even those who were crucified with him taunted him. When the sixth hour came, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, have you deserted me?" When some of those who stood by heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling on Elijah." Someone ran and soaked a sponge in vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait and see if Elijah will come and take him down." But Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The centurion who was standing in front of him had seen how he had died and said, "In truth, this man was a son of God." There were some women watching from a distance. Among them were Mary of Magdala, Mary, who was the mother of James the Younger, and Joset, and Salem. These used to follow him and look after him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women there who had come up to Jerusalem with him. It was now evening, and since it was preparation day, that is, the vigil of the Sabbath, there came Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who himself lived in the hope of seeing the kingdom of God, and he boldly went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate, astonished that he should have died so soon, summoned the centurion and inquired if he was already dead. Having been assured of this by the centurion, he granted the corpse to Joseph, who brought a shroud, took Jesus down from the cross, wrapped him in the shroud and laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of Joset, were watching and took note of where he was laid.